Hello and welcome. This is Contemplations. I'm your host, Marlon Johnson, and I'm so happy that you've joined us for this episode. Welcome on board. This podcast, Contemplations, is about growing and learning, nourishing each other through conversations about life's big and small questions. As we share reflections about our various experiences, hopefully we'll come up with advice to share with each other and you. In Jamaica, we call this reasoning. This podcast is based on my book, The Contemplations of John Sakwabna, available on Amazon.com. Kwabna is a man reaching middle age, living long ago in his village in West Africa and observing life as it happens around him. He has many, many questions. Throughout this podcast series, I'll share chapters of his thoughts and then give my view on some of the themes. I'll also have some good friends as invited guests for great reasoning and thoughtful conversation. We're sure to learn a lot when we ask each other questions, listen, and dive deep. In the previous episodes, we talked quite a bit about mentors and influences in our lives. Again, many thanks to my good friend, Francis Ocheri, who was a blessing to have as a guest. Now, we'll pick up at chapter 2 of the book. Here goes. The Contemplations of John Sakwabna, chapter 2. I do not understand the Creator. When I was young, there was a prosperous village near me with many houses, farms, craftsmen, and musicians. Their chief was celebrated for his wisdom. Yet, the people were befallen by catastrophes over and over until all were dead. Children, women, all the men, goats, the chickens. Why did the Creator, who can do all things, not intervene to save his creations? Some say the people there were sinful and blasphemous and deserved their fate. Their willfulness was an insult to the Creator, so the other creations rose up against them. Yet, I have heard of other villages and lands where there is much strife. The people strike, kill, and take the land of others. Yet they continue to exist and even prosper. I do not understand the Creator. Once, I stole food my mother had prepared for guests who were traveling from afar. I had been given my share, but I was not satisfied. Why should such delicacies be reserved only for strangers? Was I not equal in importance? I ran with my hands full of food and hid myself in the bushes by the riverside. This place was known for its many crocodiles. I was young and foolish. Against my mother's counsel, I lay at the water's edge to enjoy my ill-gotten gains. Lo, I fell in. I was near drowning and saw a crocodile dive into the water. I was prepared to die as I slipped under the water. I waited for the beast to strike and end my life if the water did not do so first. Such should be the fate of a disobedient child, one bold enough to steal from its hard-working mother. Then, two hands held me and raised me from my watery grave. I was saved by a passing farmer, a man who could not swim. Why did the Creator send me a savior when I was so undeserving? Why was not one sent to the children, at least, who died in that prosperous village? I wept with shame at this grace, for I do not understand the Creator. So, this chapter has a number of thought-provoking themes, I'm going to pursue just three. Let's start with a question that is asked in every culture, in every generation, and eventually by every individual. For the most part, we all believe that there is a greater force responsible for creating and overseeing this world. Some of us call it the Creator, call it God. We describe it as a benevolent or supremely good, omniscient, everywhere, anywhere, all the places at once, and all powerful. This being has existed for all time and will exist for all time. Yet, so many of its creations upon this earth experience misery and misfortune. And so comes a big question. How does our Creator, our God, decide when or not to intervene? Does God actually watch us and intervene? Some of us see bad luck, misfortune, and suffering as punishment, something deserved. Surely, goes the reasoning, a person's misdeeds and wrongs must eventually be repaid in kind. One of the Bible's most enduring stories is that of Job. Now, here is a man who has been enjoying untold blessings, possessions, children, plenty. Then, for no obvious reason, he is befallen by catastrophe after catastrophe. A portion of his vast flocks are stolen by raiders, and his servants are slaughtered. Another portion is killed by fire from the sky, and more servants are dead. All his children are killed in one terrible accident. A mighty storm from nowhere collapsed the house in which they were having a celebration. Then, if that were not enough, the poor man is stricken by an awful disease. His frustrated wife is at her wit's end and just says, "Die already, man. Just give up and die." When his concerned friends come to comfort him, they fall into the old predictable ways of asking, "Man, what did you do wrong? It must have been some terrible, awful deed." A couple of books later in the Bible, we run into Ecclesiastes, writings about the utter futility of life. It just doesn't make sense. Unkind and ruthless people continue to prosper, even as the righteous bounds from one hardship to another. It's almost as if the key to worldly prosperity is to be cutthroat, vindictive, and ruthlessly political. A man could scrimp, save, and invest in building some little amount of wealth, only to see his children wasted before his very eyes, even before he is dead. In less than a year, a careless, egocentric ruler can destroy a country that has taken centuries to build. If there are any rules in life, any rules to life, any guidance from God, Kwabena would really appreciate it. As he keeps saying, "I do not understand the Creator." And many, many of us feel the same way. Let's move on to talk a little bit about the theme of greed and selfishness. The first words of a child are often, "Mine." And it all goes downhill from there. How much woe is released on the world by selfishness? Yet, it is selfishness that drives our consumption, our ambitions, our economies. Imagine a world in which everyone has only what they need to survive. A few would call this heaven, but many more would use a stronger word on the opposite side of the spectrum. Worldly prosperity relies on people striving for more of everything. And to get more, there is a formula. Use what resources are available to you. If you don't have them, trade with somebody who does. And if that is not an option, take what you think you need. In the end, the rules are made, or at least controlled, by the mighty. That is the operating system of the world. Selfishness drives the world as it now is. Pubner's question, was I not equal in importance, hints at self-centeredness. And this self-centeredness leads us to ignore the concerns of others. Why should I care about other people over my own people? Is it my duty to strangers to help them? Is it higher than my duty to my family and my friends? Now, the effort to make things better for our own loved ones can yield beneficial things. Where would we be as humanity without technology that allows us to survive on this planet that can seem so hostile to us? Everyone, even the most miserable and destitute, appreciates a house, electricity, and drinkable water. But even these are not really free, because someone or some people had to be stripped of their rights for these to be possible. People are driven off their land and kept off it by dogs and guards, guns and walls. Or people are forced to mine their own lands for minerals or to grow crops that are sent away to other people or the more powerful people. As the world turns, there's prosperity for some and misery for a great many. Finally, let's talk about the theme of grace. Having stolen from his own mother, Pubner ends up in a literal life and death situation. As he realizes the seriousness of his circumstances, he believed he deserves his fate. Yet, he is saved almost miraculously. And now, he is suffering survivor's guilt. In the village that suffered the misfortune, children his age died for no apparent reason. Yet, he, Pubner, was literally lifted from the grave, even as a crocodile circled him. A stranger risked his own life to save him. What drove that farmer to act so courageously? Again, Pubner is left thinking, I do not understand the Creator. In the book of Job, God speaks to Job and his friends out of a mighty whirlwind. The Creator blasts the poor, frightened fellows for questioning his justice and his oversight of the world. He might as well have been talking to Pubner. There is no way the creation can understand its Creator. And in the end, we must resign ourselves to this fact. The writer of Ecclesiastes counsels us to just enjoy life while we can, as best we can. For nothing is certain. To Pubner, he would say, enjoy your second chance, my friend. Go back, make amends with your poor mother, and do better. In the next episode, my guest and I will continue to talk about these and other themes. I can't wait to learn more, especially as we reason with each other based on our experiences. Do not miss this one. If you want to check out a copy of the book, it's available on Amazon. Search for Marlon Johnson Contemplations. Take a look at my other thoughts and commentaries at my blog, The Newcomer, at www.marlonjohnson.wordpress.com. My friends, keep on living, striving, and helping. Until next time, walk good and help somebody along. Take care. God sustain you and bless you and give you guidance and protection.